This is the From the Attic podcast with your host, Brian Watson. It's a podcast from an attic.
Hi, this is Mike from the Progressive Track Show, and you're listening to From the Attic podcast with Brian on Progzilla Radio. My guess is Vicky can't stand this show either.
Hello and welcome to the attic, John Dexter Jones of Jump fame. Hello, John.
Hello, Brian. How's it going?
Very well. It's a bit grey and overcast here, but always cheers me up talking to you, old pal.
Well, it's lashing down here in my Buckinghamshire mansion. I've come out to the orangery, and I'm sitting in here having a large cigar and looking out. But it's a bit grey and windswept out here. All the leaves are down, and the sky is grey.
Awesome. Well, as you may gather from the title of the podcast, I am in an attic. Welcome to From the Attic.
A podcast from an attic?
Yes.
Oh, well, I mean, in actual fact, when I said orangery, then really what I should have said was 8x6 summer house / shed. So I think it is very appropriate to be being podcasted from an attic.
Every man needs a / shed.
I go outside, but anyway.
Yes, we're talking together. I mean, we don't need an excuse, obviously, but we're talking together today about. I keep wanting to call it Breaking Bad. I don't know why, but from having had a quick shufty at it, it's probably got more in common with Breaking Bad than maybe any other TV show in terms of its overall aesthete. But yeah, Breaking Point is the new record, John. It's out. Is it out?
It's out on Monday, the
16th. Yeah,
16th. Yes, it was delayed by a week, just logistical things with the plant. But actually, these days, and fair play to them, I think they've done a terrific job. You know, everybody's under the similar pressures, I think, at the moment for obvious reasons. And so, in actual fact, to be able to deliver it, you know, within a week of when it was projected a few months ago, we're really pleased with that. And the people who pre-ordered, those are already winging their way.
I'm hoping the postie will push it through me flap at some point this afternoon.
Well, yes, I hope so too. In fact, that's been the response of a few people who are jealous of the fact that some of their friends already have the CD, and of course they don't, because the vagaries of the postal service. Although, again, I'm loath to criticise, you know, because again, the posties, you'd let us think about them in these straitened times. That can't be an easy job to be doing right now. So, you know, let's cut everyone some slack, Bri.
Absolutely, marvellous yes. Work from a whole host of people whose efforts generally go unnoticed, I think.
Yes, exactly.
I've had a chance to have a shufty, as I say, and as we discussed in the green room, it's looking at a slightly, shall we say, darker album than Over the Top, which 3 years ago it doesn't seem that long ago.
Yeah, no, it was 4 years ago. Would you believe 2016? I believe Over the Top was, if I'm not mistaken.
Good grief!
So 4.5 years. Quite how that's happened, I don't know. I think it is the longest interval, you know, between Jump releases, I think. Anyway, but, you know, who cares?
I won't quote you. I understand Ronnie's produced this one, so my main question, I think, is just, I mean, how... I mean, it's difficult enough to make a record, but how much more difficulter is it in times of COVID?
Yeah, it was, in actual fact, I suppose there's two things you can say about that. Just sort of, we were lucky in that we had all the kind of the stems of the tracks, if you like. I don't know if that's actually a term, but I've heard it before, and I'm one for, you know, magpieing around and plucking terms out of the air. So we had the stems of the songs recorded already at MARS with the... inimitable Martin Atkinson, and so that we were that's where we were really at the end of January, beginning of February, and our intention was to sort of let them lie for a little while and then visit them again. We record in a very kind of, it's very intensive, you know, studio time costs money, etc. And so we worked hard in advance, and that's possibly why things took, you know, quite a long time to just develop the material and get it how we wanted as well. And then we went in and recorded it, and then we wanted it to rest. You know, like when you have a large joint of beef or something like that, apparently it's a good idea to take it out of the oven and let it rest before you eat it. So we wanted to let the material rest a bit before going back and then doing the more work on it. And then the coronavirus struck while we were in the middle of that all resting. And so we thought, what are we going to do? And it became pretty apparent pretty quickly that we wouldn't be going back, you know, a crowd of us into a studio in a cellar somewhere. That wasn't going to happen. Ronnie is not only equipped in the sense that he had the equipment that could, you know, that could do the job, if you like, certainly to an extent. We invested in a few bits and pieces. But he also had the skills. Ronnie went to ACM, which is a music college, and, you know, that was studying the guitar. But he also then, you know, the guys who go to those places, you know, learn everything all the way around. They learn about publishing, they learn about whatever. And yeah. Ronnie, as you've probably sort of seen on some of the self-promo jump shows, you know, he does our sound as well. So, you know, as well as playing live with the band. So he had the skills, but of course not really the experience. So, you know, he'd never really, you know, produced and mixed, you know, to just get these tracks together and then make an album out of them. But that's what he did. And in a way, the fact that we were all, you know, isolated, not sitting on his shoulder, probably made that a bit easier. And also at the start of the process of handing it over to him, everybody was agreed, you know, it'll take however long it takes. So we didn't, you know, immediately say, look, mate, you've got to deliver this in a month or anything like that. And then we left him to it. And you know, whenever he could, he carried on building and carried on working on it and learned things by, you know, sometimes trial and error, sometimes drop lucky first, you know, with things that he was trying first time up and learned and went. And that's really how it came to be. And I'd be lying if I didn't say that when he came back and said, right, well, this is it, you know, this is as far as I can take it, everybody just sat around and went, well, you know, that's exceeded our wildest dreams, if you like. I mean, you know, that we were, I mean, really absolutely not stunned, but just delighted with, you know, with what he'd done. It sounds great. Well, I think it sounds wonderful. And the feedback that we've had so far, even just from sending out, you know, MP3s for promo and stuff like that, people have drawn attention to just how well produced it is. So yeah. And then, you know, the other bit of it that is worth saying, and I think because you probably got a lot of musicians listening, another bit of it that's worth saying is that the tech is there, you know, now with there's a lot of stuff around in the digital ether that makes things a little bit easier, you know, and I'm not saying it makes it easy because you have to turn up a piece of art in the end of it. But the tools now, you know, there is a sense in which you don't have to go into a massive studio to achieve some pretty good results. Leave it at that.
Yes, I mean, just from my small world of radio and podcasting, in the space of a few short years, I've gone from plugging a USB microphone in and listening back to those first shows, getting an awful, awful sound, to something that sounds marginally better.
Yeah.
Purely from a sort of hardware and software point of view. Early reviews as well have praised Ronnie's guitar work. So he's a full...
Yeah, he's the ticket. I mean, you know, he is the ticket. You know, Ronnie, I mean, I don't know if that's sort of people, how aware people are or whatever. Ronnie was a fan of Jump, you know. He used to come, his dad was a fan of the band. His dad was friendly with our lighting engineer. And he used to come and asked, you know, can the kids come? And it was like, yeah, this is the, you know, we're talking upstairs in the Nag's Head in Wickham, you know, anyone can, you know, you can bring 7-year-olds as long as they have a bottle of Newcastle Brown in their hand and don't look too conspicuous by not having one, then they can come, you know. And so you went up those stairs and disappeared into the blues loft of the Nag's Head in High Wycombe. into the smoke and the sweat and the walls dripping, and you know, that was it. As long as you didn't misbehave, then you were fine. So as a, probably as a 13 or 14 year old, he started coming to watch jump with his dad, and then a few of his friends came, and I can remember them because they'd be sitting down the front, you know, on the floor with their Iron Maiden t-shirts on and whatever, watching what was going on and taking it in. And then a few years after that, a couple of years from those days, when he was probably about 16, his dad phoned me up and said, you know, Stephen wants to go in the studio with a bunch of mates from school and record, you know, some stuff, which piqued my interest. And he said, would you kind of steer the process? And I said, yeah, you know. And he said, what about going to Martin's where you record? And I said, yeah, definitely, you know, be up for that. And I don't really know what I was expecting. I know what I was like when I was 16, you know, being in a band. You know, I wouldn't necessarily have wanted the outcomes to be put down on a CD, but that's what they wanted. And I went along and I just thought, well, blimey, you know, these kids are good, you know, really good. But this particular kid was a standout guitar player, and I just thought, he's great, you know, brilliant. And the album happened. It was an album, it's called Stone Child, with the name of the band in it. I can't remember what the album was called. That might have been Stone Child. And anyway, there's one little anecdote about this. Was we reached the last song to be done, and the backing track was down, and the vocalist hadn't turned up because he had to work or something like that. He's a 16-year-old kid, and he worked, and he couldn't change his shift in McDonald's or whatever it was. And that was the end of the session, because there was somebody else coming in the studio. It had to be done, and I said, well, who's going to do this? Because I'm not doing it, because you can all, the singer sings like somebody, you know, who's got his inner voice and all of this. So I said, well, how does it go? And sort of Ronnie went in the studio and into the booth and started singing it just by way of showing us how it went. And then I heard he could sing as well. And I just thought, oh, to have that talent at 16. And then, of course, the rest, sort of the years rolled on a little bit. Pete Davis and the band parted company. And Pete was obviously a major driver of the band. He was the founder, really, of the band. Pete, and a tremendous guitar player that Ronnie used to watch, you know, close up in the Nags in those days. And I just thought, well, who, you know, who's going to do this? And I thought, I wonder if this kid could do it. And so I phoned him up and I went to see him, and we sat down and we kicked around a few musical ideas. He, 20, whatever it was, in his early 20s, and me, 114. And it quickly became apparent that he was to dogs, and he wanted to join, so he joined Jump. So that's a bit of background to Ronnie. And I mean, as a player, well, he's the ticket, no question. He's played in every kind of, you know, every sphere of music. He's been full-time professional guitar player in function bands. He's done the whole, you know, everything, the whole nine yards. And now he has a marvellous niche in Jump, and some of the stuff he's playing on this album is, I would say, worth listening to. Calling Brian Watson.
Hello.
Hello. I've got you back.
Yes, I'm still here.
You crashed, I think.
Well, blame it on the weather.
Is that what it is, you reckon?
Probably.
Okay. I think I'm still okay.
Yeah, I'm fine. I can just seamlessly segue from...
Yeah. Where did you lose me, do you know?
One part to another. You'd finish Ronnie's entire bit.
Okay.
So it's a natural break in it.
Yeah.
A natural break in it. So what I was going to do was say I have a little audience in the attic who want to show their appreciation for everybody in the usual manner. There we go.
Yeah.
They're very very appreciative of all your hard efforts, all your hard work, making art in times of the vid. We're going to play a song from the album momentarily, aren't we?
Yes.
As is my wont, I thought it would be apt if we played the first song on the album. The Heroes. I notice all the songs are succinct titles.
They all have full titles. And when we play them live, we usually, as you know, we usually talk a little bit about that. But we wanted to. These are all players, if you like. They're all elements in a picture that surrounds Breaking Point as an idea, if you like. And as people listen to the album and go through those tracks, they'll probably get the idea of why we've boiled them down. You know, in every conflict, because this album really is, it does really come from a darkish sort of place. In every major conflict, if you like, these are the players, and it's almost as though the world is in something of a conflict, shall we say, all over. And so it sort of boils them down to those elements that surround the breaking point. You find all those people in a war, if you like, or in a fight or in a struggle. They'll all be there, you know, if you read the different titles on the album. So the first one, The Heroes, is a song called The Heroes We'd Be. And it's really us as the narrators of the rest of the album. It presents the band. It presents how the band, you know, became. It's the story of 1,000, 10,000, 100,000 bands starting off in school halls, and then to still be being around and being grizzled and all of that. This is a story about us. It's just telling the story of who we are, in order that we are able to establish our credentials for telling the stories that follow.
Not too shabby for your 14th album as well, John. It's quite tremendous. The overall quality of your output over many decades. I don't want to make you feel old.
No, I'm comfortable with that. You know, do we ever stop joking? No. Does Jump ever stop joking aside? No. We're comfortable with that. The kind of underground veterans tag of being around. I'm pleased to hear you say, and a lot of people say, you know, the quality of the output is what you're measured by, really, not how old you are or whatever. And I find as well, as the longer you go, the more tricks you learn, provided you're open to that. You know, when I say tricks, I just mean, you know, your understanding of interacting with audiences and people and what it is that you're doing. You know, you take a more analytical look at what you're doing, you're more critical of yourself, and so I think that's what hopefully keeps the quality up and practicing as well. I mean, you say that about us. I shout out bands who, you know, at the same time as we were starting, even before us, you know, but like bands like Galahad and people like that, again, I'd say exactly the same thing about them. There's a kind of vein of bands through the UK who have been around for 30 years doing, you know, roughly, loosely in this area that we're in. And there's not many other places where you find that, I don't think. And so, yeah, bands like that, I listen to what they do and have done. It's varied, it's eclectic, it's, you know, all of that. But it's pretty universally good. And I'd say that's true of quite a few grizzled veterans of the British prog scene.
Yes, I mean, it's testament to the quality of the music that these bands, yourself and all these others that you've mentioned, are still going after, as you say, 30 years. And they're not still going because they're rubbish. They're still going because they are good and still have something to say. And dare I say, the music progresses.
Yeah. It does. And, you know, nobody, I honestly think if people started putting out, you know, there's probably in the higher echelons, you know, of any kind of music genre, if you want to put it, you know, there's probably people, they could put out an album and they could put out an album of, you know, them scraping plates into the sink and probably, you know, some people might buy it, you know, because they have to have the complete set or whatever. But generally speaking, I think people, you know, the people, particularly in this area of music, and when I say this area of music, we're talking about an incredibly wide field of people who are experimenting and, you know, drawing from different influences and drawing from different combined influences. That's the thing I always say about the bat, you know, it's like, how come you sound like that? It's like, well, we don't all listen, you know, we don't all go home at 6 o'clock and listen to, and I was going to name an album by a band in the 70s, and I'm not going to do it. We all listen to lots of, so these bands, you know, and as maybe different personnel pass through them, they're bringing different things to the table. They've heard different things. And so these the bands, I think, become this kind of filter for the staff, and that's how it kind of melds together. And that's what keeps it interesting. And ultimately, the most important thing, that's what keeps people going to see the bands or buying their records. Because in the end, if you buy an album by somebody and in the end you just go, well, I don't like that one, and then I don't like that one, and I don't like that one, well, you're not going to buy anymore, or you're not going to listen anymore, and so it dies out. But no, I think, you know, in this narrow on the one hand, but really, really wide field of music on the other, I just think the fact that those bands are still going, and as you allude, Brian, correctly, they're still going strong. You know, they kind of are. There's a lot of stuff thrown about, you know, well, not many people go to the gigs and all that. And it's like, well, sometimes lots of people go, sometimes they don't. That's the same as everything else. but musical quality, people look forward to getting these albums, clearly, from the feedback we get. So, yeah.
It's the complete package, isn't it? It's the music, it's the friendship, it's the talking bobbins over a pint. It's the spirit of community, and I think The Heroes speaks to that. So without further ado, I reckon we should play something from Breaking Point, and we're going to play the first track from the album. Where can you get the album from, John, by the way?
You can get the album if you go on jumprock.co.uk. You can go to our Bandcamp page and you can get it through Bandcamp from us, or it's signed with Dave Robinson at F2 Festival Records. You can get it from him or any of the people that he, any of his distributors. So wherever you are in the world, there will be an F2 distributor, and there'll be channels for you to get it. So I wouldn't say it's available at all good record stores, but it's certainly available in a lot of places. If you buy it from us, then obviously I'll be able to varnish the yacht.
Yeah, available at all good record stores and a few bad ones and all. But yeah, Dave's a good egg. We like Dave. So as I say, here's The Heroes from Breaking Point by Jump.
It is close now, those days dissolve, and the caretaker drank the last of the spirit that we paid him. We won't look back, the dust can fall. At least that's what we told ourselves each time we haunted that old hall. It's where we began, it's where we were born, where we dreamed of the heroes we'd be when the daggers were drawn. That we raise to the ghosts that we loved are still sweet. We won't hold fire, say what you like, but we've lived every day at the edge, come what may, and we won't fall, we won't fall. we spared no thought for the years that we'd spend fighting hard to the end, life so short. It's what we've become. It's what we had planned. We believed all along in the beer and the song and the band. It's where we began. It's where we were born. Where we dreamed every day of the heroes we'd be.
Welcome back. We're still in the attic. I'm joined by John Dexter Jones of Jump, and that was The Heroes, the first track from the new Jump album, Breaking Point, and jolly good it was too.
Well, thank you, Brian. Thank you very much.
Yes, I've cast my eyes over tentative sort of reviews of the album, and they're all, I mean, I'm sure people don't want to weigh up your back and stuff, but they're all overwhelmingly positive, which must give you a certain degree of pleasure.
Yeah, it does give
17
you
a buzz. Albums in or whatever it is, 14 albums
yeah,
in or whatever.
14 studio albums, 2 live albums, an acoustic album with 3 of us, which went under the name of John Dexter Jones and the Stephen Twins, but it's all Jump. All Jump songs done on 2 acoustic guitars and 2 voices. We did that as well. So, yeah, in actual fact, it is 14, 15 to 17 albums that we've been involved in across 30 years. Of course, it was 30 years in April this year. We were supposed to be playing 2 sold-out shows at the Limelight Theatre in Aylesbury, and they didn't happen for obvious reasons, and so they've been postponed until May 2021. So by that time, it'll be our 31st anniversary, and we don't want to be fraudulent and pretend that being 31 is somehow, you know, really important. So we'll probably just leave it at our 30th anniversary gigs. And so yeah, that's where we should have been. Yeah, we've done lots actually. Now you remind me.
Yes, you could call it 30 and a bit.
Yeah. Yeah, you could listen. You know, if you're in marketing and things like that these days, you can come up with a reason for almost. You can come up with a reason for anything to be consumed, really, can't you? So yeah, 30 and a bit. You know, 31 and a bit. Actually, it would be. We could probably count the amount of days it's been since our first gig, which was April 13th, 1990. There'd probably be some reference in that amount of days or something like that. We could talk about world leaders during the time that Jump have been playing.
Yeah, you could call it 34 Sides Live. Sides Live or whatever.
Yes, you see. So
I should be on a retainer.
Yeah, well, this is it, you see. But, you know, you're recording these things. You're putting them out there. You're giving them away, Brian. You've given them away. The best thing, what you should be doing is just sort of saying to people, how many tracks are there on the album? And you say, well, there's 9. How long is it? 40 minutes. And, you know, all of that. Don't throw all your good ideas away. Keep them. Sell them.
It's the ethos of Dead Bob Productions. We share the creativity.
Yes. Well, anyway, are we going down a cul-de-sac here, Brian?
I love it when you speak. Paint me like one of your French ladies, John.
I used to work with a guy. He told me he was Barbara Castle. Now there was a elemental force in British politics. I think he was something like her private secretary at one point, which was interesting. He was called Eddie. He's no longer with us. And I used to work with him, and he used to drive the van in. He was retired, and he used to drive the van in the garden centre where I was working, and I would carry and hump the bags of compost, and he in his late 60s would drive the van and direct things. And we turned up, funny enough, one day we delivered to Barbara Castle's house because she lived in Ipsdon when she was alive, just around the corner. So that was quite interesting. We went there, she gave us a cup of tea in her kitchen after I'd lugged about 50 bags of compost down the bottom of the garden. And anyway, but what I was going to say about Eddie was he was driving along and we were looking for an address once. And he went, well, he said, by the looks of this, it's a cul-de-sac. And I just thought, is he joking? But he wasn't. He was like, oh, no, it's a cul-de-sac. And he was from Yorkshire or something like that. It was very, very, you know, we would say cul-de-sac. But he went, it's a cul-de-sac. And I thought, anyway, there we are. We have gone down. We've not only gone, we've gone down a rabbit hole now, Brian. It's not a cul-de-sac. We've disappeared.
Big hair, so, I remember, Barbara Castle. Big hair.
Tell you what, do you know what? She was when we went there to the house in Ipsdon, and she had a living, you know, carer come assistant. And she was sharp as a pin, mind you, but, you know, frail and whatever. She was in her 90s, but she used to come in the garden centre and order, you know, what was needed. And she lived in a quite nice house with a nice garden, and she had a gardener that would come. And she used to come, but I tell you what, for somebody who was by then pretty diminutive, pretty frail, all of that kind of thing.
It's another lucky day, and I get to climb these walls. Another 24 on a great big spinning ball. Out the heart of the city, waved it in front of our eyes. They've torn it to shreds with no pity, as the last breaths expire to the size of the things that we all took for granted. Those that steeped us in faith are all gone. The things that we shared and the risks we all dared to take when the beat drove us on. When it sucked out the facts that remained, and that universe melted and ended in the white-hot success that they claimed. And all that was left were the spaces in the crucified minds of the poor. We were famished and dry and too tired to cry as the dead came to beat down the door. As the birds left the towers, they flew as the wind tore away the hopes and the cares of so many in the storm of that last dying day. And the things that were solid and steadfast were uprooted and slashed with their knives. And the last that we knew, we were broken and blue in the hollowed out shells of our lives. We'll be right back. rejoice and I won't shed a tear. On this day, destroyed or redeemed, I will have lived where so many have seen.
For the last time.
Please, I can keep failing you.